Listen and stream the all-new talk radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
Okay, folks, Freedom 106.5, good afternoon. Just about 4 minutes after 12, it's time right now for your most loved doctor on the airwaves. She's back and she's live and in person, as they say. The doctor is in the house. So Dr. Safia Mohammed is here and ready to provide answers for all your medical questions. We are broadcasting live on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1, Vibe City 105 FM, and Sky 99.5. Get in touch with your lunchtime doctor during the show at any time. You could call 627-3223 or 625-2257. And you could also send your WhatsApp questions to 306-1065. Good afternoon to you, doctor. Nice to have you.
Good afternoon, Base, and good afternoon to everyone tuned in for the next hour. This is your program. This is where you get to chat with myself, a medical doctor for the past 19 years in the medical fraternity. I think I've seen it all. And here's where you get to share your health concerns. Let's dissect it. Let's get some answers. And I want to know, what's on your lunchtime plate? What health habit have you learned or picked up just on this program that you are now going to take that bit of information and help someone else? You may save a life just by sharing that health information. So we have today's program all prepared for you. We also had our Health Plus segment this morning on CNC3, where we continue the conversation, the very important conversation on cancer preparedness, cancer screening. People go, why talk about cancer all the time? Here's why. Because in this country alone, we lost 2,000 lives per year to cancer. And it's been said more than 70% of this is preventable. In our Guardian today, we looked at some of those particular cancers. One that we're going to touch on is lung cancer and smoking. And Base, in the back page there, did you notice that we even talked about breast cancer, but breast cancer in men? Yes.
Oh, men as well,
Very much a possibility. So there are tons of things we're going to touch on today, but we want you to be able to share your health concerns.
All right, I see some calls coming in already. 627-3223 and 625-2257. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor.
Good afternoon, sir, and good afternoon to Dr. Mohammed.
Good afternoon. You're live on air.
Yes, I am the guy with the blood issue for a long while.
Yes,
so
tell me.
I'm just giving you a little update.
Tell us where the hemoglobin is at.
Right. I did a blood film on the 16th of the 2nd. What is saying WBC is leukopenia, no blast, no diaplasis. It's a big word. RBC, macrocystos, anisocytosis. Wow, I can't pronounce it.
Macrocytosis.
Yes, NORMOCHROMIA. Right, the platelets are thrombocytopenia.
Yeah, so the platelets is thrombocytopenia.
Yeah, large form noted, no clumps. And the conclusion, future and history suggests significant hematological disease. Recommendation, clinical correction, urgent investigation.
Right.
That's the blood, the staining satisfactory, the comment. So that's presently where I am.
Right. You know, thank you so much for continuing to share this information.
And I'm feeling plenty better, but I don't understand all these big words. I only collected the document. I didn't meet the doctor to ask so much. So maybe if you could help me out with that to explain that, I'll appreciate it. If you could, thank you.
Definitely. Now, I'd need to actually see the results in front of my eyes to give a better explanation. But essentially what it's saying there is that some of the blood cell lines do have a fair amount of health consequences to it, so health impact, where you have, so we talked, they mentioned leukopenia, we mentioned macrocytosis. Leukopenia means the white blood cells, which is the cells that tend to present that arm of protection, is lower than usual. That's one of the bloodlines. So what they gave you there was a full description of the different types of cells, your white blood cells, the red blood cells, that's where it said macrocytosis, and then platelets, a thrombocytopenia, which is reduced. So yes, you certainly will, and I'm sure the next conversation will be with a hematologist. And I want to encourage you, while you call in here today, send us a WhatsApp message so we can get connected directly to you as well, and that we can follow a little bit closely in terms of what's happening with your blood count. However, sir, I want to commend you for moving this further, because this is one particular situation that started as you feeling fatigued, you feeling exhausted. We encourage you to just go and get that blood checked, and you did not sit on it. You went and you got it checked, and you realized your blood count was really very low and needed so many units of blood. So that's just a share to all those who are tuning in. Don't underestimate what even simple fatigue may be. So thank you so much, caller, for sending in all of that information, but send us a WhatsApp so we could further connect with you.
And it also raises the point where you get your results. You know, like you said, some of those big words needs to be explained.
Definitely, you
know?
Yeah.
So a lot of people need that. Okay, hi, doctor. I just wanted to know if my results are okay. It's cholesterol 269, LDL 143, triglycerines 269, because my next appointment for the health center is on the 22nd of March, and the doctor will talk to me. Thanks, doctor. Keep up the good work.
So thank you so much. And I love that our patients are becoming so much more informed. They are aware of their numbers. So that cholesterol, the 269, is indeed a little bit more on the elevated side that I would want it to be. The numbers that we really look at when it comes to cholesterol would be under 200, but you're right on the mark there, so you're close by. Here's what you can do to bring down that cholesterol at 269. Let's look at what your nutrition is. Just cutting down one particular unhealthy habit at home, be it overprocessed or fried, and switching that out to say steamed foods, you can bring down that cholesterol value. Let's also look at some of the other factors that are indeed playing on that high cholesterol, because we looked at the LDL and the triglycerides. So LDL is your the low density lipoprotein, and your triglycerides, they all are components that make up the cholesterol. So in reducing your cholesterol, we're not only looking at nutrition, but we're looking at your exercise, because here's the thing, exercise can indeed improve that cholesterol count. We also want to look at some of the other factors that reduces cholesterol. You may need to be placed on some medications. That's okay if you need to, but in the next, say, I would say the next 6 weeks, try to one step every day, reduce or change or switch it out in your diet, and you'll see your cholesterol coming down.
I think we should just have a show where, you know, people sending their results or their numbers.
Definitely, and we could analyze it. Because you see, based what you said there, sometimes patients go into the clinics. Mm-hmm. They go in, and the time frame, because there's so many patients.
The explanation isn't given.
Explanations. You know? And those words can be fearful. They see all these words and they instantly think one thing.
Yeah.
That's not always the case.
Definitely. Once again, folks, you're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor, Freedom 106.5, Sangit 106.1 FM, Vibe City 105, and of course Sky 99.5 FM. Our numbers are 627-3223, 625-2257, and 306-1065. Somebody even sent me their, what is this, the film, their BMI results, their blood film results. People are Tanita send in some stuff. So we'll try to arrange that for you, right?
Definitely. Yeah. So right. When we look at the BMI now, that's mm-hmm. a very important marker. That mm-hmm. body mass index,
yeah.
that one can help us predict a lot of when you look at quality of health.
Mm-hmm.
We also like to look at the abdominal girth.
Okay.
So the three things I would tell everyone to know, your mm-hmm. ABCs,
mm-hmm.
your HbA1c, right. that's mm-hmm. your sugar value,
right.
B, your blood pressure, and C, your cholesterol.
Mm.
If everyone could promise me they know these three values,
yeah.
you'd be well on your way to good health.
All right, beautiful. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the lunchtime doctor.
Yeah, good afternoon. I just sent all the report there. I'm the same guy.
Oh, you're, right? you're the guy yes. who sent. Okay,
all my reports. Thank you very much.
I will try to forward it to the doctor.
Thanks.
So that, like, this is your new doctor?
Okay. It's always a team effort. Even in the hospital, it's a multidisciplinary team effort. In a case like that, where we have low blood count, that's a hematological case. You may also have a general physician. You may also have a cardiology case, because low blood count will directly affect the heart.
Mm-hmm. All right, very good. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the lunchtime doctor.
Good afternoon, Doc. Mm-hmm. My potassium is 5.928.
Now, say on the line, are you someone that unfortunately may have diabetes or chronic renal failure or anything like that?
My diabetes is bordered 120, but every time I check it is 91, 112, so...
Right.
I'm not on no tablets.
Okay, and what about anything, any compromise with the renal function?
Excuse?
Any compromise with your kidneys?
No.
Great. So that potassium at 5.9 should not necessarily be a high or low. It's well within. It's just borderline on the higher value, right? Right?
Praise
so it's
God.
Borderline, but here's what I would want you to do. You want to make sure you're well hydrated. You want to ensure that, because you mentioned that you're also borderline with the diabetes, that you
yes.
are being very particular with your nutrition. You want to bring down any sort of high glycemic index foods. So what are some of those foods that have a high glycemic index? Even with fruits, your starches...
Excuse,
your...
can I listen on the radio?
Yes, certainly. Mm-hmm. So there's certain high starchy foods. Rice and pasta have a high glycemic index. What does that mean? It will spike your sugars. If you can ease off on that or do your substitutes. With rice, why not try the whole grain rice, the whole wheat, right, instead? With pasta, same thing. And we want to reduce our sugars as much as possible. Switch out to your complex carbs. You know, they talk about blue food, cassava, sweet potato, much healthier than any of the other, say, a normal potato. So you can start with looking at switching more to fruits and vegetables. The potassium is a little bit on the borderline. You want to ease up on if you're having a lot more bananas than usual, because bananas do give an increased amount of potassium. But in this case, you're well on the way to good health.
All right, beautiful. The person there with the, once again, I'll read over the results with the cholesterol 269, the
right.
LDL 143, triglycerines 269.
Mm-hmm.
They said they are taking castor, I don't know if you mean castor oil or castor tablets, for my high cholesterol level 269. Is that okay?
So castor oil wouldn't necessarily be what I recommend to bring down your cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
You might need actual medication, a cholesterol-lowering drug, a lipid-lowering drug. Yes, there's a lot of conversations out there about using castor oil. That's more used for constipation, digestive. That's right, for digestive problems.
Yeah.
It doesn't really impact upon your lipids. So stay away from that. However, try your best to continue upon proper nutrition and see your healthcare professional so you can get a proper lipid-lowering drug.
All right, folks, 70 minutes after 12 o'clock. Once again, you're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor, 627-3223, 625-2257, and 306-1065. We just take a turn of what's in your Health Plus. They're very concerned about the cancer, breast cancer in men. A lot of men than the thing that, well, bring here breast cancer, you only think of women.
That's
of course,
right.
But men can also get breast cancer.
And that's why this is like the second or third time I'm highlighting this. Now, mm-hmm. February 4th was World Cancer Day.
Yeah.
Now, while every day is a day to talk about certain diseases, we wanted to give the spotlight. And here's the thing. You know what's the question I get all the time when we've actually made that diagnosis?
Mm-hmm.
Right here in Trinidad, the male patient looked at me and said, Doc, what? I have what kind of cancer?
How I could get breast cancer?
How is that even possible? And yes, it is indeed possible because both males and females, no matter the gender, can present with breast cancer. And it can indeed be just as dangerous as it is in females, and it can present in your males. Here are some of the risk factors. Those that may have had a liver disease, as in cirrhosis, who have had indulged in a lot of drinking. Those who may have had a family history of colorectal cancer or breast cancer, or if they've even had radiation therapy for some even thyroid cancer. Now that may progress too. There's also some genetic conditions, Klinefelter syndrome, genetic mutations that are related to, say, that BRCA gene. What do you need to know how it will present? It's the same way it presents: a lump or a swelling in the breast, changes in the skin, dimpling, nipple discharge. Anything that you notice that is out of your normal, both males and females, seriously, go to your doctor.
And of course, a lot of men may see things wrong with them, especially with that, and they may just bypass it, you know?
Well, here's the thing. In the article, we actually gave a statistic that Harvard Health quoted. Here's what they said. Researchers found that men waited 19 months to actually seek medical care. So to trainees who are listening, you're not the only one. It's men across the world.
Yeah.
But the advice is, let's check it out instead of toughening it out. Let's go, I go check that later.
Men with medical, terrible.
Yes.
All right, let's get another call here. Hello, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Bees.
Yes, man.
Afternoon to the doctor.
Good afternoon. You're live on air.
Yes, Doc. I wanted to inquire, if you improve your blood count, will it have an increased impact on your heart rate?
Definitely. So let's talk about that link. Once the blood count... Once the blood count is reduced, then the heart has extra work because now the heart has to oxygenate a lot more of the body, and then there's that extra pressure on the heart that may increase the blood pressure, not only within the heart, but within the tissues themselves. So a low blood count equate high blood pressure, or vice versa. Someone with high blood pressure can also be unfortunately experiencing a low blood count. However, as you mentioned, if you improve your blood count, if you're getting it within normal ranges, and what's normal ranges for men? 13 to 15 milligrams per deciliter. You want at least fall above 10. Some persons can be comfortable steady states of 12, 11. That normal blood count mean that your blood will be well oxygenated and be able to pass through your entire system. What are some of the foods? And of course, everyone knows I tend to be as natural as possible. Our green leafy vegetables. You remember that lovely cartoon with Popeye and spinach? Let's go back to even having some of the green leafy vegetables in the garden.
Kalaloo,
definitely. Even oil dong. Now, oil dong with your the fish and, of course, the different sweet provisions can have a little too much cholesterol attached to it in your preparation. But if you just utilize the normal way in cooking it and remove some of the extra amount of oils and butters, that is just as healthy as well.
Chinese might say, but that is not oil dong.
My mother... okay, so people know. I've talked about my mother. She had a heart attack some years ago. She's still... She has a stent in, and she's had to adjust her lifestyle in every single way. She's probably about 6 years post-heart attack and haven't had another episode. Knock on every piece of wood, thank you, Lord. And she has had to adjust just about all of her meals. And she loves to cook, like any mom out there. And I know, I can attest her, she has improved her breadfruit and that oil dung. in just her preparation, and we continue to enjoy it.
Beautiful.
So yes, it is possible.
Lifestyle. It's all about lifestyle, folks. Mm-hmm. You know, 627-3223-625-2257. Some of the other foods, but one food I didn't mention, I don't know if that's okay. Beetroot, like beetroot.
Yes. Yeah. Beetroot is one of those superfoods out there.
Mm-hmm.
Great in antioxidants.
Yeah.
Incredible in kind of vitamins that it gives your body.
Mm-hmm.
Some persons boil the beetroot, they drink it, they make drinks out of it, everything.
Yeah.
So a little bit of that every day,
mm-hmm.
you're good to go.
Nice. Hello, good afternoon.
Where do you go to get the cancer test? And the pharmacist say, well, if you take blood tablets, that you know, it will increase your heart rate, and they're not good for high blood pressure.
So thank you so much for answering that. Now, I'm not too sure which blood tablet that is.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, yes, they can be very correct, because taking too much vitamins can worsen your blood pressure. Answering the first part of the question, where do you go for a cancer test? There are several different cancer markers. You can check the Cancer Society. I know they have a lot of subsidized tests, and even, of course, the health centers. Now, the health centers, the public health, will only test based on what symptoms one may present with. What we encourage everyone to know is at a rung, say, once you know your family history, know what risks you present with, and do those checks from age 30, 35. Men from age 40, they must be checking their prostate cancer. You know, I did an article once based on probophobia, because that's what I think trainees have.
Yeah.
So we have to conquer the fear first and foremost of accepting that this could be a diagnosis, but if we pick it up in stage one, stage two, then your quality of life, your prognosis is much better.
All right, definitely. That's that one there. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome.
Hi, good afternoon, Bass.
Yeah, man.
Doc.
Okay.
Well, Trinity here.
Yeah, man, Trinity.
And, baseball, you see how much you just learned on this?
Of course. Yeah, man.
I never knew man could have suffered breast cancer. No?
Yeah.
But I'm so glad to know, Doc. All this informative, all this informing the public, you know, this is really nice to know, all this listening. Thing is, Doc, I have one question. Coconut oil.
Yes.
How safe is it to use? Because we grew up on that long time. My father used to buy all the groceries, except one thing he never buy was coconut oil.
Right.
I mean oil, sorry. Say, all have enough coconut, make oil.
Right.
We grew up on that. We grew up to live on that.
Yes. Now, when we say in terms of how safe, there are tons of health benefits, but everything in moderation. Mm. Too often we hear something that's good. I remember when initially persons put out articles on avocados, on Zabuca, how great it was. And persons started having way too much, and then their cholesterols will go up. Now, coconut oil does have incredible health benefits, but everything in moderation, because it still has a high amount of saturated fatty acids attached to it. So you don't want to overuse. It does have the healthy fats, however, so a little bit of it is great for all your cooking for anything.
All right, beautiful. Lunchtime, Doctor. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, man, blessings in the panel. This boy.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, what's up?
All right.
So, two things I concern about my health. Now, turmeric with black pepper is more effective, okay?
Yes, agreed. I love the addition of the black pepper. Not for everyone, however. Some persons might have some reflux. Some persons might have those conditions that may cause burning, and the black pepper mightn't be their cup of tea, but turmeric, definitely.
Right. And the other thing, the same topic, turmeric. Mm-hmm. How much time do you use turmeric with the black pepper on morning before meal? Like 3 weeks and then stop or just continue using this thing? And the other thing is, Doc, the stems to open the arteries.
Right.
I understand you do have a cut of your chest again.
No. So there's a less...
Yeah, did you do something with your finger? We listen often and thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, caller. Great questions. So there's a few questions well you asked there. You asked first and foremost about the turmeric and the black pepper. Of course, like I said, not everyone can indeed indulge with black pepper, but I'll happily talk about the health benefits of your turmeric. Turmeric is one of those what they call a next superfood.
Yeah.
It aids in that boosting of your collagen. It also has an immune support booster as well. Now, when it comes to the surgery that you mentioned, stenting, which is one of the surgical processes for heart attacks or for your myocardial infarction. No, they definitely don't. What they say in the past, they say, oh, you know, you have to bust open the chest. No, the surgical processes now, there's been a huge amount of medical advancements. It's a norm. No, it's a smaller cut. It's tend to done by laparoscopic surgery. They can enter from the femoral as part of the leg there, and of course everything is under invasive technology where we are monitoring it, so that's where it becomes much safer. So yes, stenting is where we put those stents within the heart itself, and it's done without having to do massively invasive surgery.
All right, you listen to the Lunchtime Doctor once again on Freedom 106.5, Sky 99.5, Sangeet 106.1 FM, and Vibe City 105 FM. Send your messages to 306-1065. And of course, you can call us at 627-3223 and 625-2257. We have a call, then we must go to some voice notes. Hello, good afternoon.
A very good afternoon to you, Doctor. Doctor, what causes an enlarged heart?
Thank you so much, caller. You know, we have our regular callers right here on the Lunchtime Doctor. There are quite a few things that can cause that. But even before I want to go into the causes, I want to go with how people present when they have this enlarged heart. An enlarged heart is something we need to check. One may feel a shortness of breath. They may feel not just that shortness of breath, but they may see swelling on their lower limbs. That's called edema. They may even have a high blood pressure. What may cause that is indeed that increased blood pressure, your hypertension, where the heart may have some sort of blockage and the heart now becomes enlarged, a cardiomyopathy. It can even have genetic causes, and it can have causes that from as early as fetal causes. So a mom who's diabetic, her baby typically may have or present with an enlarged heart. So we've seen cases in that way. So several different across the board in terms of causes of enlarged heart. But I'm more concerned with, if you experience any of these signs and symptoms, your next step is to present to the doctor, because it's very much treatable and manageable.
Let's take another call here. Hello, good afternoon.
Sorry to call back. Something really important come across my mind just now. Aluminum, listen to Andy, aluminum foil is not for heated things. That is toxic, and if you check after you put some hot things like hot chicken and chips, whatever, hot macaroni pie, if you would take out the foil in the next 2 hours, you'll see how black it is. That is toxic, that will damage your liver and your kidneys. So aluminum foil, and a lot of mothers do this, wrap hot things for the children and the others to go to work. That is a no-no. That is dangerous for your health. Well, have a blessing.
So thanks so much. Yes, and now I just want to add something to that. It's only in high levels or a lot of exposure. Mm. So yes, there is that research that shows that the aluminum can accumulate in the kidneys, it can accumulate in the brain, the liver, etc. But that's after repeated exposure. Mm. So in the case like that, where someone is wrapping the aluminum, wrapping, let's say, a sandwich in your normal foil, that will not bring across a health hazard.
Right.
Believe me, if it was going to bring across a health hazard, it'd be pulled off the shelves a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people would have been suing aluminum companies.
That's right.
Yeah,
so we have to make sure we manage our conversations.
Yeah, okay. Hello, good afternoon. Hello?
Yeah, good afternoon, Lunchtime Doctor. I have a problem with my skin non-stop scratching. I want to know what could be causing it.
Stay on the line.
Dread scratching, non-stop.
Stay on the line. Have you ever been checked for diabetes or thyroid disease?
No diabetes, no high blood pressure, nothing.
What about thyroid disease in particular?
No, I never checked for that, but I do ultrasound, I think on the kidney, liver, everything was good.
Okay, great. I'm glad you ruled out those things. Let's go one step further and also check the thyroid. You see that thyroid gland, which is located in the neck, is what we call like the powerhouse of all the hormones. And sometimes if the thyroid hormones are elevated, that may present with the skin having a lot of itching, which is pruritus. or it could just be an eczema. It may not necessarily be directly related to an organ dysfunction. It could be related directly to the skin having some sort of overactivity. So it may be some sort of a skin allergy, and that's what presenting with that allergy, with that itchiness. I want to encourage you to make sure you're well hydrating the skin. A dry skin tends to be an itchy skin. So use any one of the hydration, the moisturizing creams, and that will help ease that pruritus.
And I was sweating the sun, it rays more. But I just do construction work, but in the sun now, it rays a little more higher.
Now, you mentioned the key thing there. You see that occupational hazard, the construction work? Sometimes it may just be the fine sand, and the fine sand goes into the pores. And if that goes into the lower layers of the skin, that's what can be now become an irritant. So don't underestimate what that environmental exposure to the construction industry can be. So you just have to make sure you're protecting your skin when you go home and you're removing that pieces of clothing, that in the shaking of it, the skin, those very, very fine particles of sand is not now interacting or dropping onto your skin.
Oh, yes. Okay, thanks very much.
No problem, sir.
Right, thank you there very much, son. Sometimes, you know, when you travel in the States and you see those guys doing construction, even in the heat, you always see them have on long sleeves.
Yes.
You know, and we tend, because we're here, we wear a lot of short sleeves, clothes. Hello, good afternoon. Hello?
Hello? Yes.
Yes, hello. Welcome to the lunchtime, doctor. You're on the air.
Yes,
speak up a little bit. We could hardly hear you, man.
Liver function. Doctor, listen,
okay, thanks so much for the question. I think what he asked there was liver function tests. So yes, any blood test, please, any blood test that all of you are tuned in, a medical doctor should recommend it. Please don't just turn up to a lab and request something. The liver function test, what we use that in particular for, is to look at the liver enzymes, the specific enzymes within the liver capacity, and that will help us decide if there's any malfunction or liver damage, liver disease. Now, it's not only alcohol alone that causes cirrhosis. Overuse, environmental exposures can also cause liver damage. So there are quite a few things. And when we're testing for in that liver function test, we do more than just the enzymes. We look at proteins. We look at some of the substances that are made by the liver. So we're looking basically as an overall check of your liver health in a liver function test.
All right, folks, once again, the lunchtime doctor. Let's deal with some voice notes here, some WhatsApps. You can, of course, message us at 306-1065. And even if you're listening to us on some of the other networks and you have their WhatsApp saves, you could always message us Sangeet or Vibe or Sky, and they will forward it to us. Hi, good day, doctor. I am 27-year-old female, and I've had light facial hair since I was 15, right? Being lately, it's been growing a lot darker and more in larger amounts. It is possible that I have PCOS.
Definitely.
What would be my first steps in seeing about this? Thank you in advance.
So thank you so much for bravely sharing this. Hirsutism, or that extra facial excessive growth of dark coarse hair, almost like a male-like pattern on the face, above the lips, even within the area for the beard, that is consistent with that medical disease that you mentioned there, PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome. You may even see the hirsutism, the darkened hairs over the hands, over the legs, all across the body. What can you do? First and foremost is let's make the diagnosis. So we'd want to know a fasting blood sugar profile, an HbA1c, and possibly a 2 hours postprandial. A medical doctor will give you that particular recommendation, and of course you're taking that to the lab and they'll do that blood evaluation. But here's what you can do today, because polycystic ovarian syndrome, while it is medically managed as well through use of medications, your anti-diabetic medications, your hormonal medications, it's also that integrated medical management of proper nutrition and, of course, proper exercise. And I've openly shared this before. Just about 75% of our population, of our female population, has polycystic ovarian syndrome. I myself had that couple, well, probably about 15, 16, years ago, a long time ago, it complicated my ability to have a little one, and not until was I able to get that polycystic ovarian syndrome under control was I able to now move into having a little one. So one of the big complications of polycystic ovary syndromes is infertility, and that's why we encourage every woman, and as you mentioned, you're at that 27-year period, so please get it checked out. Go present to your doctor. You may be placed on hormonal meds. They will have a nutritional conversation with you. You can start today. You can better manage it. And you will see the changes, even in the hair growth on your face. I can assure you that.
All right, another question here. The person with the high cholesterol, message again. Crestor 20 mg tablet. Is that good for my high cholesterol of 269?
So any sort of lipid-lowering medication, and what you mentioned there is one of those lipid-lowering medications, will help. You need to give yourself at least 6 to 8 weeks to see some sort of medical change. Please be consistent with it and don't try to self-sabotage. You know, we do a lot of self-sabotage. We take any medication, but then we're also taking a host of other things that are wrong with it. So what are we really doing? So you're on the right track. You have the proper medication. Blend that with proper nutrition. And I assure you, in 6 to 8 weeks, you will see that value coming down.
Good afternoon, doctor. How often can I take a B12 injection?
So that has been the craze during Carnival. Everybody messaged, doc, I want a B12, doc, I want a B12. That's really only indicated if there's a need for it. It's not something we're going to recommend on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, unless it's indicated in some sort of medical deficiency, right? You can get your B12 in the same way through proper nutrition.
All right, let's take a call here. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome.
Yeah, doctor, it is I again. Doctor, what causes poor blood circulation? Thank you.
So I think you listen, you tune into our program all the time, so you know we get that call.
I think the person has an encyclopedia, a book of questions.
Yes, but we do get about poor circulation. You know, in the clinic, we see so many patients with this poor circulation. And how do they present? They present with swollen ankles. They present with discoloration among the ankles. They present with toes that are consistent with a diabetic feet. What causes it? The number one cause in Trinidad and Tobago is indeed diabetes. Diabetes and high blood pressure are non-communicable diseases. And that unfortunately leads to this plaque development within the arteries, within the veins. And if think of your veins and your arteries like pipes. If there's blockage, if there's cholesterol, if there's extra fluid, then obviously there'll be poor circulation. Simple exercises. As we're sitting here, I am doing ankle exercises all the time just to be able, because I know the days when I wear my heels, I might have some swollen ankles as well. Yeah. So I want to make sure that even when I'm sitting, that I'm doing some
movement.
Exactly. So that's a big cause with poor circulation in Trinidad. Trinidadians, we live too much of a sedentary lifestyle. So let's start with just introducing some level of exercise in your daily habit.
All right. Once again, folks, that's 3061065. That is to WhatsApp and text, to text only, or send voice messages. It's not to call, okay? Good afternoon, doctor. What causes boils to come out all over your body? Boils.
So boils, you may tend to see that if there's a swollen or infected pimple head. So on the skin there is those fine hairs that come out. If that hair growth or the follicle becomes infected, it will lead to a boil or an abscess formation. It could be separate and apart from an infected hair follicle. There are some disease processes that have an increased amount of sebaceous glands formation. So there may be sebaceous cysts, and that happens throughout the body. If you're seeing that happening, present to a healthcare professional, because we can indeed treat that directly, both with topical medication and systemic medication.
All right, folks, once again, you listen to the Lunchtime Doctor, Freedom 106.5, Sangeet 106.1, Sky 99.5, and Vibe City 105 FM. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Doc, pleasant one. I just want to know what causes, well, Can you tell me some triglyceride reading of 180 is considered high? And if yes, you can tell me what supplement can be taken to lower such triglyceride?
So I'm very glad you can tell me the actual reading. So yes, a triglyceride of 180, I'm presuming is milligram per deciliter. That is one of your fats, your lipids that are concerning, and we want to bring that down. So normal, we'd want it under 150. So you're just on the borderline there. High is over 200. So if you're crossing the 200, that's going to become problematic. What does triglycerides do? They come and deposit on the arteries and they thicken those walls. So they form something called arteriosclerosis. Once those walls become thickened, you're increasing your risk of heart attack, of stroke, of heart disease. So what can you do? You want to bring that down. Avoid your sugar. Avoid your refined carbohydrates. Choose healthier meals, healthier fats. We mentioned all this already. You know, shift out. Trade your healthier meals instead of. So let's just talk about that. Somebody asks about olive oil and canola oil and coconut oil. Many Trinidadians, they like cooking in oil. Why not use the healthier oils like your canola oil instead? Use your healthier meals, healthier meats even. Try to avoid any sort of trans fat. Take a look at your nutritional facts. So we want to encourage everyone, take a look at it and see where you can bring down your high levels of fats. Of course, we talk about exercise. Exercise, if you can get 15 minutes of exercise, go towards 30 minutes. Aim for at least 30 minutes every day. Regular exercise will actually bring down that triglyceride levels and even boost the good cholesterol. So even if it's just walking up and down stairs, that is a good way of reducing your triglycerides.
All right, let's get another question here on the WhatsApp. Good day, doctor. What causes itchy skin at night? Even if it's clean bed sheets, the problem still persists.
So it could be a combination of things. I don't know if you have a history of eczema, atopic eczema. I'm not sure if you have also a history of any other allergic type conditions. You may have had asthma as a child. That'd be the first thing that comes to mind. But of course, I'll need to rather see what the skin looks like and of course, do a couple questions. Another thing that we see a lot of here, and I mentioned it earlier, our diabetic patients tend to have itchy skin and those with thyroid conditions. But people underestimate what is the importance of just hydrating the skin. The same way we need to hydrate the body, hydration to the skin. Dry skin equates an itchy skin.
Well, no, of course, a lot of men may have a problem. So I don't want to lotion before I go to bed. That's not me. That's so feminine.
And then when they see their dry skin and their partner mightn't fancy the dry skin, then just as quickly they will put that cream on.
Right.
But you know, we do have, I've seen switches. I've seen a lot of changes in the way men are taking
care
of themselves.
Their skin. Yes.
Right? Mm. And we also, you know, the products out there, they've been recognizing that.
Yeah, like when you go to that place, that's, well, the Pennywise, the place that sells the... May you see a lot of men in there, and there's a whole section, you know,
exactly.
Things for your beard, for your hair, you know. So,
right? Yeah. So they're manscaping, they're taking care of their skin.
I like that, manscaping.
Yes.
Okay. My mother has an uncontrollable diabetes, but she hides when she's drinking juices and snacks, right? She has to take insulin twice per day.
Wow.
We like to hide or lock everything sweet. We have to hide or lock everything sweet. Any suggestions to assist to get her to stop?
Yes.
That's hard. Yeah.
Now, it starts with habit. Now, insulin twice a day is a lot. And if she's compromising it now by increasing the amount of sugar she's putting into her body, she's negating the effects of the insulin. Mm. So here's what I'm going to share to you. Sit her down. Have the conversation. Find out why. Maybe it's a craving.
Mm.
And if you take away the snacks, just like a little child, they'll go looking for it.
Or maybe they could do substitute snacks and less snacks
right.
So they have less sugar.
Right? So have the conversation. Mm. Find out the why. Find out. Just listen. And then do those healthy shifts because you can. Mm. A simple thing that we've done with my little one, he loves those fries, with like all children.
Yeah.
But I now use the sweet potato and make the fries. We do carrot fries.
Mm.
Recently, we bought the spiralizer and doing cucumber noodles.
Okay.
Right? And he loves it all together. He said he's making healthy noodles. Mm. So just like that, you can find those healthy chefs. Mm. And I know you can do it with your mom.
Definitely. But let's go back to our Health Plus and explain some of the things in our Health Plus.
Yes.
Now, the time to act is now. Is it possible to prevent, cancer, even if it is in your family, hereditary? Because I know a lot of people, and I'm sure the people know a lot of people out there who are very health conscious. They eat right, they exercise, do everything, and they still end up getting cancer.
So here's what my deduction on that would be. Mm. We've seen that happen. But in those cases, because they're screening and because they are they're very aware of it, if there's a family history, then chances are there will be a positive cancer diagnosis at some point in time.
Mm.
But medical advancements have been where a stage one, stage two is no longer a death sentence.
Mm.
And that's what we want to do. We want to create a future without cancer, or create a future without the fear of cancer. So let's know what your family history is. Know where you can be screened and how often you may need to be screened. And if it's something is picked up at stage one, then your prognosis is tremendously better. You know, we have a lot of myths, however, on cancer. So to all those who got their Guardian today, on page 4 in your Health Plus, we looked at some of those myths that we want to debunk. Many persons see a lump or bump in any part of their body and instantly think it's a cancer. And that prevents them from going and getting it detected or identified. Many times that lump or bump may not be a cancer. It may just be some sort of growth. So let's move away from that possibility. Another person may think that if they've had cancer once, it can come back again. That's not always the case. Once you're properly monitored, properly treated, you can completely have a life free of cancer, even after having a cancer diagnosis. You know, so there are many myths, and we need to move away from this fear of this diagnosis.
Yeah, definitely. Once again, folks, the numbers to call, we have just about 10 more minutes. The numbers to call, 627-3223, 625-2257, and for WhatsApp only WhatsApp, 306-1065. Do not call the WhatsApp phone. Once again, the numbers to call, 627-3223 and 625-2257. And of course, well, with cancer, diet, your healthy lifestyle, as you mentioned, we always talk about stress, mental and emotional well-being.
That is more and more proving to be the number one cause of cancer.
Stress, imagine that.
Stress.
Well, a lot of people are going to get cancer.
Let's not put that diagnosis out there and put that manifestation out there. But they are showing a lot of links to the inflammatory conditions that stress can cause and those direct links. So let's not underestimate the mental well-being and how important it is to just managing your stress on a daily habit.
Yeah.
You know, we used to do our well health and wellness tips. Now would be a great time to reintroduce just how to manage stress. Here's how I manage stress every day. One, I find something to be grateful for, even if it's the oxygen that I'm breathing.
Yeah.
Gratitude brings that positive emotions, the positive neurotransmitters within the body, and that in itself can counter stress. You find something to be grateful for. Two, you find someone that you can give a helpful, positive note or message to. So be it a smile. You know, this a smile is charity. When you give someone something in a positive way, be it sharing a message or even giving them a positive greeting, their automatic response is something positive in return. So you're building that social connection. And that in itself reduces your stress levels. Three, and most importantly, control what you can control and relinquish what you cannot.
That's right.
Let's say traffic.
That itself is very stressful.
Right? In those moments when I know we're going to have traffic, I put on a podcast and that's what I'm listening to.
Yeah.
So I'm not allowing myself to be stressed out by the traffic. Too often we do that.
All right. Let's get back some calls. 627-3223 and 625-2257. Hello. Good afternoon. Welcome to your lunchtime, doctor.
Good afternoon. Hello.
Yes?
I'd like to find out what is the best thing to do for this constipation.
Right. I'm so sorry that you're experiencing constipation. Let's look at what your diet looks like. Increasing your amount of fiber. You may even need to add some sort of medication in there, depending on how long you've had that constipation. But diet plays a big role. Hydration plays a big, big role. And even your first meal of the morning. What tends to help peristalsis, and as the movements throughout the gut, first thing in the morning, have a warm cup of water. You can have some grated cinnamon in that, some lemon juice, and that helps the gut realign and recalibrate. Constipation is when you have not had a bowel action in 3 to 5 days. So when you can shift across that nutritional input, then you'll certainly see those changes. Note that we have had patients that we need to give certain medications to. It may be topical, it may be direct, we may even need it to do some injectables, and that helps relieve the constipation. If it's affecting your quality of life, do get it checked out by a healthcare professional.
All right, great. And how should somebody like go off after every meal? Is that normal?
Well, at least one bowel action per day.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine.
Yeah.
However, it's not unhealthy to go one day without having a bowel action.
Okay.
Over 2 days, then that's when we get a little concerned.
All right. And of course, drink your water. Drink your water.
Drink your water.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hi.
Hi.
I think I need
one. Yes. No, yeah.
Oh, you're the lunchtime doctor. Welcome to the lunchtime doctor. Yeah.
Let's hear your question.
Oh, hi, how are you? I'm calling concerned with a hysterectomy I had a few months ago, but on my outer thighs, both of them, there's this numbness. Sometimes a sharp, pinch-like feeling, but this constant numbness, and it's not going away. So I'd like to know, will it ever go away? Is it a nerve problem? Do I just wait it out?
Or right.
Medical?
So thank you so much for sharing that. Any sort of concern post-surgery, I certainly would seek medical attention on it. I'm not too sure the direct reason for the numbness. We definitely would need to have more conversation about it. But if it's post-surgery, then please get that checked out right away.
There's 6 more minutes to go. We have some questions on the WhatsApp here. Good day, doctor. What is the treatment for fistula?
So a fistula can be just about or any with any part of the body. You can have a fistula that is formed from the gut to the bowel. So a fistula is a connection between one part of the organ or one part of the body to the next. Most times fistulas are surgically treated depending on where the fistula is. But a fistula could also be a therapeutic thing, because we insert fistulas for those who need chronic renal failure treatment. So it really depends on where the fistula is, and of course how it's affecting your entire quality of life.
Another one here. Hi, good day. My mother has a cough for months. She has breast cancer and has to do surgery. We've been trying for the cough to go for a long while now, and it's still hasn't gone. What should she take?
Right. Now, when it comes to this cough, first and foremost, I'd want to find out what is the trigger. If it's allergic in nature, if it's post-COVID, we do have a lot of Sahara dust around. Mm-hmm. So what exactly is the trigger of this cough? There are even some medications that the side effect of the medication is a dry cough. Mm-hmm. So we need to figure out what is the cause first and foremost to be able to eliminate the cough altogether.
All right. Hi, doctor. Why do your blood cells cluster together? Is it bad?
So when the blood cells clump together, yes, that can be bad, and that's something called thrombocytosis. That may be when there's too much red blood cells circulating. And it really all depends on the viscosity of the blood. It really all depends on a number of other little factors. It only becomes bad when it crosses the normal capacity of the red blood cells.
Mm-hmm. Another question here, doctor. What is the cause of nose bleeding?
So nosebleeds. they can happen just about any time of the day for some persons who are predisposed to nosebleeds. It also depends on probably the altitude, because as you change in altitude, you may have an increased frequency of nosebleeds. However, some persons may just have a predisposition to nosebleeds, and that may happen just normally. So there are several other factors. It could be autoimmune related, but we'd want to stay to, if you do have a nosebleed, ensure that you are doing the right method in stopping the blood. So you want to pinch your top part of the nose and tilt the head backward. It can be quite problematic in little ones, especially if they are predisposed to this nosebleed.
All right. I have V veins. I think they probably mean varicose veins. I have V veins. I notice some lumps in some of them.
It certainly sounds like varicose veins. Varicose veins is one of those conditions that is treatable by your medications and, of course, by surgery. We want to also ensure that you're getting some level of exercise, because that reduce that sedentary lifestyle will worsen your varicose veins.
All right, Doc. Can Candida tablets help the diabetic control the cravings?
Absolutely not. A Candida tablet is an antifungal medication. And an antifungal medication, it is indeed used for thrush. Sometimes some diabetic patients may have thrush in the mouth, or they may even have Candida across the body, different parts within the toes or different areas. But it's not used for cravings for a diabetic patient.
All right, let's take a call here. We are inside the lunchtime, doctor. Almost wrapping up. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, thanks again. Doctor, you know, they keep moving the goalposts with coconut oil. The earliest, it was the worst. Yeah. Now it's the best oil to cook. Olive oil cannot be heated. It loses its shelf. It's not good to be heating olive oil. And if you back to the aluminum, it's not good to put hot things in aluminum foil. This cold thing is okay.
Right.
Thanks again.
No problem. And you're correct. We did say canola oil. That's one of those that are actually kind of healthy. And it's a vegetable-based oil.
All right. Hi, doctor. How long after being constipated should one consider doing a colonoscopy?
So that would be based on your conversation with the healthcare professional. I would not jump into a colonoscopy just after, say, 1 or 2 days of just a constipation. I'd look at the full systems. We'd look at some of the other signs and symptoms that you may be presenting with. Family history plays a big role. But if you're having, say, no bowel action after a week, then please present to your healthcare professional.
All right. And final question here. What can you use to, well, the same person with the clustered or clumped, to declump the blood cells?
So that declumping, what we really want to look at is you want to look at the not just the red blood cells, but the hemoglobin value. So you definitely go present to the healthcare physician. They'll look at it, they'll look at the blood film, and then from there, they'll take those next steps in terms of the medication.
All right, okay, doctor, and thanks. Once again, inside the Health Plus today, we deal with the breast cancer in men and the back then, of course, cancer, well, prevention. And
well, we looked at all different aspects of cancer prevention, screening in particular. Yeah. We also touched on lung cancer. And that's one of the things that I want our Trinidadian population. We'll continue that conversation tomorrow, because lung cancer is one of those that we can actually reduce the numbers. And here's, you see that very last piece of the column on the lung cancer?
Yeah.
Why should one quit smoking? I want to just repeat some of those lines.
Yeah.
People often tell me, you know, it's so difficult to stop smoking. But in just one day of stopping smoking, your carbon monoxide levels are cleared in your body, and your lungs can actually start to breathe. In just 2 weeks, your circulation is improved. In just 10 years, the risk of lung cancer reduces by half for a smoker. So there's so many reasons to ease off in this lung cancer, in with respect to smoking, and reduce your risk of lung cancer.
Stop smoking, people. So many of my friends, I'm trying to get them to stop smoking. I try to hide their cigarettes.
Let them read about secondhand and third-hand smoke. When they see what they're doing to their children and their family, that harmful effects of secondhand and third-hand smoke is just horrid. So we're just about out of time, eh?
Yeah, we're great today. All right, so nice having you inside. You've been listening, of course, folks, to the most loved doctor in the universe, I say. The lunchtime doctor, Dr. Sophia Mohammed, here to answer, of course, all your questions. We were live on Freedom 106.5. here, Sangit 106.1, Sky 99, and of course, Vibe City 105. Thank you very much for all your questions and messages.
So thank you all, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.